Today is Monday, September 3rd, 2007. I am the uncle.
And I am Charlie. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Hopefully all of our diligent readers were able to get Monday off from their grueling and drudgerous jobs in order to do something fun. Hopefully we did the same.
Charlie, I was thinking about that. I just want to give a shout out to any of our listeners that maybe were unable to get off and actually had to work on Labor Day. You know, my heart goes out to all those people with really important jobs, you know, firefighters, EMTs, police, men and women, doctors, soldiers, that kind of thing. Get to work today, pat yourself on the back. So hopefully, you know, select a beverage of your choice, pull up your favorite easy chair, and join myself and Charlie as we indulge the many facets and areas of things that we think are fascinating. And hopefully you find them interesting soon if you don't, you can always laugh at both of us.
That is a very wonderful sentiment, Uncle. I entirely agree. And you know, I haven't talked to you in a couple days, and I'm dying to know what's new.
Well, you know, Charlie, I have an exclusive spy report, a special update specifically for our friends on the Parry Game Preserve.
Fantastic.
I wanted to tell everyone about the day I had, and I really didn't want to tell you ahead of time because I wanted to do it fresh.
So you can get my my reaction firsthand. Excellent.
I want your live reaction, Charlie, because I think those are always the best.
Oh, absolutely.
So I actually set my alarm on Labor Day, Charlie, and got up at 8:10 in the morning.
Good man.
The latest Iron Maiden, the newest Iron Maiden album, I think A Million in Prizes or whatever the hell it's called. I don't know, the one with all the skull soldiers in front of a tank on the cover.
Huh.
You know the one I'm talking
about. Yeah,
right? The one with the different world, it's the first track. Anyway, whatever, I digress.
Fair enough.
I got up at 8:10 this morning to leave my house at 8:30 because today was a big day, Charlie.
The big day, Uncle?
I was going to go, and I went to the New York Renaissance Fair, which took place in Sterling Forest in Tuxedo, New York.
Tuxedo, New York. Wow.
A beautiful Tuxedo, New York, in the middle of nowhere, Tuxedo, New York. I just want to say very briefly, I don't know if any of our listeners live in New Jersey or are from the state of New Jersey, but the road networks and the infrastructures and the highways in New Jersey, they make absolutely no sense.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
It's just an absolute nightmare, Charlie. It's the type of deal, we map-quested the directions, they weren't that clear. I got onto this road, we were going the wrong way, and I had to turn around. Next exit, 12 miles.
Oh, fantastic. Nice job. Nice job.
Nice job, right? So, again, Uncle wasn't having that. I pulled a Starsky and Hutch maneuver. There was a little U-turn sign. Highly illegal, but I did it, and we all survived, and we made it.
Awesome. Now, how long a drive was this supposed to be from your house to the middle of Hat Trick, New York, or wherever it was?
It actually, MapQuest said it was around an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
And we got bagels beforehand. We set on the road 9:15. We got there at around 11.
All right.
So that was like almost, what, 2 hours? A little less than 2 hours?
Yeah.
So, and the drive, all told, I thought I was going to get brutalized in the Bronx because it's always horrible traffic.
Sure.
It left early enough where it was okay.
Oh, good.
So the drive is really not that bad. I mean, again, I just wish I had planned this maybe a little bit better. This would have been the ultimate event to meet up with you at. I think you would have had such a great time.
At a Ren Fair?
You know, Charlie, I know it's going to sound amazing, but I don't know if you've ever been to one.
I have.
The food, Charlie.
Oh, the big turkey legs.
You knew all about it. a turkey leg around half the size of my skull.
They're amazing.
Where do they get turkey?
Is this like some Flintstones shit where they have like some gigantic prehistoric beast that they're harvesting the legs? I don't know.
It's either that or maybe these, you know, not even turkeys. Genetically altered giant beast.
Oh, yeah. It's like the John Madden turkey around Thanksgiving. Some giant beast they grow in a lab with 8 to 8 legs. I mean, John Madden's turkey, of course, is a turkey with legs like staple gunned onto the side, but maybe there's a real one.
right. Because, you know, John Madden, he really needs that 8-legged turkey, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't stand to lose a few pounds.
As long as it's a turducken, that's what counts.
Right, the turducken, which I think you have a post about that, don't you?
Oh, Lord, I better. It's one of my favorite stories.
But yeah, the food that they had here, I got a turkey leg, I got I had a little flashback. They were actually offering mead at the fair.
Oh, no kidding.
Mead. I think of your friend and mine, Seiji.
Oh,
the gentleman who once told me that he sat alone in his room all day drinking, get drunk because he wanted to channel Sung Woo Jung.
Yes, that's right.
I believe a mythical Chinese hero.
I believe you are absolutely correct, Uncle.
So, Seiji, if you're listening to this, they had meat at the Medieval Renaissance Festival. I had a couple of glasses of it. It was actually pretty good.
Now, so did they not allow you to consume your mead out of a leather mug? Because I believe that's the real Ren Faire way to do it.
You know, Charlie, I saw quite a few patrons with, like, metal goblets attached to their belts.
Ah, yes.
Various fake weaponry. And I think that's what it was for, that you would actually bring your own metal goblet or chalice or what have you and have that filled with mead. I just went with, what was it called?
A paper cup?
A fancy plastic cup.
Yeah.
And one more thing I'd just like to bring up that I think you might like. I just went to the first bar. You know, as soon as I got in the gate, I said to my traveling companion, I need a drink, you know, like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after driving all over New Jersey and just one really funny thing that I forgot to mention was, like, we stopped at this gas station and we're just hopelessly lost. We can't figure out where we're going and we're talking to the guy, and he's like, no, man, I have no idea where you're going. My friend's like, we're going to the Renaissance Fair. He's like, oh!
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, he gets this question probably, I don't know, 80 times a day.
Oh, he must.
It was totally the, like, I could just hear his voice. Like, I've been asked this question a million times. Just go down this road, make a right, you can't miss it.
And how nice that he isn't yet, like, horribly sick of giving the answer.
Yeah, and I was just one more of those fools that made his day a little worse.
Oh, right. Right, fantastic.
So anyway, the first bar that we go to, I'm not paying attention to anything. I'm a man on a mission. I just want that meat, and I want it as fast as I can.
Yeah.
I go up, and I want you to put a mental picture, all right? I want you to picture Edwin in a medieval-style halter top with a skirt.
Jesus, this is not looking good.
No, right. I get the serving wench, and I couldn't figure it out, but, like, I went to this one stand where all of the serving wenches were dudes.
No way.
They all had, like, beards. But I was just like, whatever, just give me a mead. And the one guy was like, oh, no. He, like, filled up my glass. He's like, this bottle ran out. I guess I'll have to give you another one. I hope you don't drink it while I turn my back.
What?
So I just, of course, quickly drank it down. He gave me another one. So even though he was disgusting and frightening, he was nice and he gave me
food. Oh, well, see, what a nice don't judge a book by its serving wench cover lesson for all our listeners.
He is. But, you know, as I left and we walked past it again, I realized that the name of the bar was the Cock and Bull.
The Cock and Bull?
The Cock and Bull. And I was just like,
oh, unbelievable. You always know how to pick them, Uncle.
I really do, you know. Don't send me to the bar with the, you know, actually attractive 17-year-olds wearing corsets, you know, spilling out of them.
No, no.
I want to go hang out with the dudes that look like Edwin.
Right, yeah, a whole room full of Ed carrying, like, 6 mugs of mead in each hand.
Exactly. So, you know, I stopped by the Cock and Bull, and, yeah, that was that story.
Oh, Uncle, unbelievable. Now, was this mead, did it have a kick? Did you start, you know, thinking they looked a little less like Ed after a couple glasses, or what was going on?
You know what? I had probably around 3 glasses along with one of those yard beers, but it wasn't even a full yard glass. It was more like one of those, you know, resort glasses.
Well, yeah, but it sounds like you were doing some serious work, all right.
Yeah, so I was trying to get into it, but I just don't know if there's...
There's not enough mead in the world.
There's not enough mead in Tuxedo, New York, the Sterling Forest, for me to really, you know, need to go that way.
Yeah, well, that's just as well.
Now, just a quick question. I'm surprised to hear that you've actually been to one of these things before.
Indeed. In fact, that is where Edwin's famous drinking horn came from. It legitimately came from a Ren Faire.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it has real chops, man. I bought that in one of the little booths in the Ren Faire. Again, north of Ithaca is a town called Sterling, and that is where the Ren Faire is. That isn't where you went, is it? Because you went to Tuxedo. It's just a coincidence, I believe.
So that's so weird. So there's this Sterling town north of Ithaca where there's this Ren Faire.
Yeah.
And that's where the horn, the Boromir's drinking horn, originally came from.
Absolutely correct.
I did not know
that. Yeah, it's a little bit of trivia for you.
That's real. You know, it's so great that, you know, I get the backstory to all this. Now, if I could ask you additional questions, this fest that you went to, how was it set up? Was it just in a field?
It had been there for a long time, and I believe it's one of the longest running ones, and it's in its own like forest, so it's very, you know, wooded and shady and nice, and there's like, you know, rows of shops, and then the big open like jousting area, and like a stage, a couple stages, all, and then like little bars. It's very windy, and there's a lot to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I need to ask, when did you go?
Oh God, maybe like 5 years ago.
5 years, and were you dragged there, or did you want to go?
I don't really remember the. I think it wasn't my idea. No.
But you just, I guess, were along for the ride.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Because this was almost kind of like, I got the vibe of like, it was kind of like, I had imagined that these things just took place in open fields and, you know, people pitch tents.
Kind of like a Stargate set.
Right, but this actually almost had like a set with different, you know, built shops.
Yeah, yeah.
Actual standing structures.
Right, no, definitely. And the same for this one.
Same thing, right, yeah, and like paved roads, and I was kind of like, you know, really kind of just shocked by it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, I walked past, they had a maypole, Charlie.
The maypole, fantastic.
And I thought, I was like, oh, man, that would just be so cool if they just had these young children running around and doing the maypole dance, and, you know, they had them singing that song from The Wicker Man.
Oh, or you could get all the Edwin serving wenches to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they probably love The Wicker Man and probably have memorized that song.
Oh, God, I only imagine. So yeah, Uncle, give me some more. What's going on here with the Nowicki serving wenches and the maypole and the built structures?
Okay, now, this is something that I think is very interesting, an interesting phenomenon, if you will. Now, the way these things work, and I, of course, did not learn this at all, is that you're encouraged to come in costume.
Oh, in costume, yeah, with, as you said earlier, fake weaponry, and I have to imagine some of that weaponry is probably not fake, it might just not have an edge, but,
I mean, some of these swords had had heft to them.
Yeah.
Just as a quick aside, I was online for my giant leg o' turkey, I was talking to this girl, and I was like, oh, that's a really cool sword of yours, and she's like, oh, yeah, it was manufactured in Toledo, Spain, and I said, oh, really? She's like, yeah, they made it for this movie. And, you know, the design was so popular, they just kept making them, you know, selling them through this website to the public. And I said, what movie? She goes, Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, no kidding.
And I was like, awesome. Like, whose sword is that? She's like, oh, I don't remember the character's name, but, like, it's not Conan's sword. So I may have been staring at a replica of Valeria's sword.
That is
from Conan
awesome.
Conan the Barbarian.
That is awesome.
Didn't realize it.
Nice job. Nice job. Well, you know, it's not Sven Ole. Didn't he have a big hammer in that?
Yeah, no, I think he... Either him or the dude that kind of looked like a Lemmy on steroids with the giant mole.
Oh yes, of course.
Two of them had a mallet or a warhammer or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't think they had swords.
No.
So I think it was Valeria. Maybe it was just one of those, you know, random stuntmen with cool helmets that
right.
regularly got their arms and heads cut off by Arnold.
Oh yeah.
But even that's cool, just because the sword is from Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, it's amazing! Fantastic.
Okay, so back to the whole they encouraged to come, you know, to show you up the costume. And I guess people really get into it. And, like, you, and me to a lesser extent, I'd say we're pretty hip with the whole costume thing. I mean, you know, we did the Witwicky family at CyberCon Expo, and I know you're really disappointed. We couldn't really get any costumes together at BotCon in time.
That's all right. It made it easier, you know. The event was overwhelming enough. I think that would have been a little too much.
I think so, too. But, you know, I was thinking about it. What they do is they have these people that, you know, run the various merchandising stands and stuff, and they, like, talk with Thou Art, you know, kind of speak like Thor, the original Thor from Marvel comic books.
Sure.
Except in Hamlet and Shakespeare, whatever, and, you know, half the time, just like, look, just give me my fucking Pepsi and leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I noticed what people will sometimes do to you is they'll actually call you out, and I guess the pretend is that if you wear anachronistic things, I was wearing my Allen Iversons, you know, my khaki shorts, a white t-shirt, they'll be like, why are you dressed so strangely, young man?
Oh, fantastic.
Young one, and it's like, dude, come on, you know, and like, other people said I was naked.
Oh.
You know, like, they were saying, I cannot believe you're wearing no clothing, meaning like, I guess, you know, instead of actually looking at what I was wearing, since I wasn't wearing it, I guess it was like I was wearing
yeah,
nothing.
It just didn't count because it's like, that hasn't been invented yet.
Right, exactly, so therefore, you're just walking around naked.
Oh, awesome.
Come on, look, I paid $20 to get this thing. Like, I'm not walking around in this suit of fucking plate mail. Like, and I don't know, what do you think about that, Charlie?
I mean, I don't know. I thought that the heckling was going to be reserved for, you know, there's the heckling area, right? Did you see the guy who, like, did they have the guy, the heckler? And I don't know. There's one of the shows I saw was certainly the guy that just makes fun of everybody in the crowd. And I think
really?
You can throw stuff at him, maybe. I'm not even sure. So, yeah. Or, and, you know, it might not even be it, but it wasn't even a dunk tank. It wasn't even a dunk tank thing. But I think they might have had, I don't know. It's been a while. I'm confusing things. But either way, I think... It's hard to say. I guess if everybody went in costume, that helps the really hardcore people have more fun, because then it really feels like some medieval village. But, you know, it's in New York. It's $20 to get in. You have to drive. I think they have to really imagine that, like, 90% of the people aren't going to wear, like, a leather gherkin or whatever, and they can just, you know, they're going to wear shorts. And it's funny that they picked on you, and did they pick on other people? But, like, you just probably stood out in the crowd.
Because, yeah, like, you know. There was this one girl coming out of, I don't know, one of these stores where you could buy clothes and stuff, and she said something to one of my companions. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. And I think she said something to me, and I was just like, I, of course, chose the stupidest thing to say. Whatever came to my mind, I was just like, far out. She was like, far out? From where do you come, and what does that mean? And I was just like...
Oh, no, you even jumped on your linguistics.
They jumped on, but again, I don't know, I guess I had Big Lebowski on the mind, and I was just like, far out.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I think, as usual, Uncle, you did a good job, and, you know, come what may, that's all right.
Yeah, but I didn't, I don't know. But, you know, of course, you know, I think of funny things to say after the fact.
Okay, well, here's a suggestion about how you could play it. You know, this is you and I have been talking about this a lot recently, the Bill and Ted style. Well, if they started giving you trouble, just pretend it's the whole Bill and Ted scene when they go to the medieval. I mean, come on, right? It'd be perfect. And
man,
just act just as confused as they are. You know, and just throw it right back at them.
That would be great. I mean, I could have said something to the effect of, hey, I'm doing a future report, not a history report.
Awesome.
You know, a little spin on the line or
something along
those lines.
See, so I'm just saying.
Oh, wow, what a great...
That's a possible out.
Only after the fact do I think of funny things to say.
Sure, sure. I guarantee I wouldn't think of it then, but it's kind of delightful to have that idea now.
But, like, if someone was like, why are you naked, young man? And I could just be like, give you something to think about, wench.
Oh, see, fantastic.
But, like, I don't know, at the time, I don't know, I was all, you know, not thinking like that.
Give you something to think about.
You gotta be on your toes, you gotta always be sharp and be funny, but, like, you know, sometimes, just walking around, you see the dudes with beard.
Yeah, like, you know, you got the turkey chemicals all making you sleepy, and you got, like, a yard of mead coursing through your veins, you know, it's all right.
Just standing out in the hot sun for a couple hours, and one more thing I gotta say, I don't know how these people do it, Charlie. I mean, I was just wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and there was dudes walking around. I mean, not a lot, but, you know, chainmail.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. It's nuts.
Chainmail, hoodies, some guy had plate, you know, they just had, like, all of their limbs covered, and I mean, that's dedication.
Yeah, it's like, how many these guys get heat stroke on a given weekend?
It's gotta be pretty bad. Think about it, wearing leather and that, you know, in that heat. I mean, it was hot out there.
I know.
I was drinking, you know, a lot of beer.
Right.
Heat, but, you know, also I was trying to drink water, and I was thinking, these guys must be suffering.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine they're, you know, they've probably got it down to a science. Like, they go out, they strut around, then they take, you know, work in shifts or whatever, and take off the plate, but it's probably a real pain in the butt to get out of the suit, so it's not like you're going to go take it off every 20 minutes. So, yeah, who knows?
You know, I think it's interesting that you said, basically, you know, these guys... People should expect that, you know, most people are not going to be walking around dressed up like a knight. But, however, seeing as how you and I are kind of obsessive compulsive when we get to something that we really like, couldn't you also see it from the other perspective?
I think so.
I mean, of course, I would never do this, but if I spent $1,000 to $2,000 on a costume, weapons, and, like, I worked on my quote-unquote imaginary person that I'm going to pretend I am, my character, and I saw some guy walking around in Allen Iverson sneakers, Motley Crue t-shirt. I mean, I guess I would kind of get a little bit upset. So I can kind of see where...
Yeah, see, when you put that shoe on the other foot, I guess you can kind of see where they're coming from. You know, they're there to have their make-believe medieval experience, and they don't want to see the cherry pie shirt.
But, I mean, mean, I think we should talk about that because, like, I don't know. I mean, we're both heavily involved in, I would say, fictional universes, properties that, you know, pulpy type stuff and cartoons, but, like, and sure, it's fun, you know, just watch cartoons, you know, watch fantastic movies and see things that could never actually take place in the real world happen on screen. But, like, it's just, there's the threshold that I feel like we don't cross and they do.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I feel like saying, well, you know, dude, like, Dungeons & Dragons isn't enough. Like, role-playing with your friends is like, why do you have to take it that far? Like, for example, if you really want to be someone else, why not, I don't know, make up a character and act that way and, like, go out to real places and interact with real people as that fake person? That, to me, would be more interesting than doing it like a Ren Fest.
No, that's a really interesting point. I mean, I have to imagine there are those people, too. I think it takes all kinds, Uncle. That's really what it boils down to, and it's, for whatever reason, like, it's a hobby they can share with other people, whereas what you just described is maybe a little more creepy and stalkerish, or at least, like, kind of the out-in-the-open roleplay, whereas this is, you know, contained in an appropriate environment, so it's something people can kind of leave behind. You know, they can do that on the weekends, and then they can go to their job on the weekday. You know, keeping it separate, as opposed to today I'm going to go to the mall as the uncle, but tomorrow I'm going to go to the mall as Martin Riggs. And so, you know, that starts blurring the lines a little bit, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, not to hate on any listeners that might do it, I don't know. Maybe we could have someone send, if you listen and you do this stuff, send us an email or write a post or just say something.
Absolutely, yeah. Give us some feedback on this, because, you know, while we do a lot of stuff that other people don't understand, we're having trouble understanding this, so yeah, let's find some common ground.
Yeah, let's get some feedback. Let's open the dialogue, Charlie. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to open the doors. You know,
that's
I
right.
I just don't want to dismiss these people. And, you know, I want to give them a voice, and I want them to, you know, respond. I just kind of think, like, why every weekend you would go to the Renaissance Fair and you're someone that you're not. Obviously, contrived and fake environment is beyond me. I mean, I'm not talking about the people that have kids and bring them and stuff, because, you know, it's good for kids. There's still a lot of families there. Kids seem to love it. You know, I know, I think I went when I was younger, and I think I thought it was really cool. You know, like, they do, like, jousting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Got to give a shout-out to, I believe it was Stuart and Bob, the Knife Throwers. I saw the show.
Oh, amazing.
On the Sun team of these guys that were throwing knives at one another. Very funny. If you ever happen to be get dragged to this New York Renaissance Fair, they're highly recommended. Stuart and Arnold. I take that back. Not Stuart and Bob. Stuart and Arnold, the Knife Throwers. Okay, so I'd just like to say, I highly recommend the Stuart and Arnold Knife Throwers. They gave a very good performance. Cool knife tricks. Mixed it up with some humor. I thought it was pretty funny. And I would consider myself pretty discriminating when it comes to
to knife throwing acts.
Right. Not knife throwing acts. I'm not a knife throwing connoisseur by any means, but strictly in terms of the comedy, and they got me to laugh more than a few times. So I think that's really cool.
All right.
Yeah, that was cool.
Now, how do you spend the whole day there? Basically, like, here you're saying you got up at 8 a.m, you know, and you got there early, and basically you're there all day.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got up 8 a.m. By the time I picked everyone up, it was 9. By the time we got there, it was 11, and we left around 4. So a good 5 hours, you know,
right,
walking around and checking up all the shop. You know, they had, I have to say, Charlie, called out to me, but I resisted its allure. They had this one weaponsmith shop.
Oh.
And they had these actual metal weapons, but they just didn't have edges.
Yeah.
And they had this full-length katana.
Oh, jeez.
That they let me hold, of course, you know, with blunt edges, so don't worry, listeners, you know, I wasn't going to cut anyone, you know, like myself.
Right, no, that's the biggest concern.
But this thing was awesome, and I just asked him. I was like, how much is it? Like, $270. Damn, that's a lot of Transformers.
That is.
You
that
know, that's
is.
A lot of mead, Charlie. That's
a lot of yards of mead, that's right.
That's a lot of video game peripherals. That's almost, that's approaching, not, you know, not a full one, but $80 more, and that's car insurance for a month.
For a month? Is that it? Wow, you New York guys.
Yeah, well, you're New York too, right?
Yeah, but I mean, my car insurance is like $300 for 6 months.
$300 for 6 months?
That's right.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, man, I don't live on Long Island.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
As well, you should not either.
Yeah, no, I really should. I gotta move out of here.
I mean, Long Island is a bad place for the car insurance.
Yeah, it was really great. This intersection right near where I work. I actually don't drive there. I was reading the local, Long Island newspaper news thing. They said it was one of the most deadly. It was the deadliest intersection in all of New York State.
Oh, wonderful!
It had like they did, the statistics, the accident ratios, and control for population density, and it was something like 8 times the average.
By where you live?
No, where I work.
Oh, where you work? All right.
It's just like one of the most dangerous.
Oh well, good thing you won't be working there much longer. You can get out of that danger.
I won't have to deal with it.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, no, crazy. Yeah, but again, like 200, and
yeah.
That kind of goes back to the whole cost.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And imagine people got like 5 or 6, various ornamental weapons and whatnot.
I do not believe it. Because then I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, it'd be cool to buy it, but, I'm not going to. But then it's like, shouldn't I actually buy a sword that I can cut things with? If you're spending that much, I want to be able to, like, throw apples up in the air and, like, pretend like I'm a samurai and cut them in half.
I encourage you, Uncle, to take some time with that decision.
I want to be able, I know it's never going to happen, I want to be able to just, walk through a bamboo forest and, really quickly draw my sword and then resheathe it and, wait 30 seconds and then, a couple of bamboo trees can just, slowly slide off.
They just slide off at a nice diagonal. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Exactly. Maybe ninjas fall out of the trees, too, because I automatically knew they were there. That guy does Shogun Assassin, too.
Very awesome.
Fun movie that I recently got on DVD.
Oh, good job.
But, I feel like my sword should be able to fuck someone up if I spend that much money on it.
Well, I think maybe you should hold out for the sharp one then, Uncle, and, next time you visit, you can leave that safely at home.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Probably for the best.
That was basically the main thrust of the Renaissance Fair. Great food, some people had ridiculous costumes, most people didn't. And there really was an excellent picture, but I wasn't able to set it up. There was this girl walking around with a super short skirt on, mini skirt, and a tank top, and she had written in body paint along her chest, "I'm 13.
What?
And also walking around was some approaching 40-year-old woman wearing the exact same outfit. And I really, I should have tried to see if I could get it together, but if I could have just gotten a picture of the 13-year-old and the 40-year-old and just got them side by side, I could have had, the young one and the one that should really give it up next to one another.
Is that what you call the before and after shot?
Not only that, or maybe I would call it, the cruel ravages of time.
Oh, wonderful.
No, and I just really wish, it had lined itself up, but unfortunately it didn't.
That's all right.
I wasn't able to get that picture. I got some other good pictures. I'll probably send them your way tonight. I don't know.
Sure. Well, now you see, you've shared that image with us, and so us and the loyal viewers can just, think of that as we may.
Exactly. And take, draw your own conclusions. Draw your own parables. We're not here to explain it.
That's where the heavens know. Certainly we aren't. Well, Uncle, this sounds like an excellent time today at the old Hat Trick Sterling Ren Fair.
Yeah, the New York Renaissance Fair celebrating its 30th anniversary.
No, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, what the hell? I might as well give it a plug. Not like it matters. But again, it runs Saturdays, Sundays, and Labor Day, August 4th through September 23rd. Again, today is what, the 3rd?
Yeah, so there's some time left for folks.
If you're in the area and you're bored, and I guess you have young kids, or I don't know, into that kind of thing, drop on by. It might be a fun way to spend an afternoon.
Excellent plug, Uncle. Well, look, man, we're going to hit an intermission. This is a very special song, folks. This was written by The Chase. I think everybody's really going to dig it. It pretty much speaks for itself. And everybody enjoy.
Now gather around, people from throughout the land. I'll teach you a game that you won't understand. This is the game about friends you can't save. Yes, this is the game we call Dungeons and Dave. Dungeons and Dungeons and Dave. This is the game we call Dungeons and Dave. This is the game where you haven't got skills and can't find a job and you can't pay your bills. You play by the hour and minimum wage. There's no gaining levels, just advancing age. The point of this game isn't to be a hero, cause that's just too hard at PC level zero. Dungeons and Dave, Dungeons and Dave, this is the game we call Dungeons and Dave. This is the game where you haven't got skills and can't find a job and you can't pay your bills. A ratty old t-shirt and leveled up slacking. Your armor class sucks and charisma is lacking. And D20 Modern's no longer the rave. You won't need your dice to play Dungeons and Dave. Dungeons and Dave, Dungeons and Dave, this is the game we call Dungeons and Dave. This is the game where you haven't got skills and can't find a job and you can't pay your bills. You have very low wisdom and pretty good int, but if not for your girlfriend, you'd live in a tent. You're slight but not stealthy, you're swift but not brave. Let's go to the basement, play Dungeons and Dave. Dungeons and Dave, Dungeons and Dave, this is the game we call Dungeons and Dave. This is the game where you haven't got skills and can't find a job and you can't pay your bills. Kill puppies for Satan will make you too sad, and Call of Cthulhu will just drive you mad. But Dungeons and Dave has a truly Dave boast. It's only Dave's life and he'll drink you a toast.
Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. I think it's a really fantastic song. It's. I hope that it finds an even wider audience than simply the confines of the preserve. That would be my fondest wish for it. It was actually written as a wedding present for another friend of ours. So yeah, listen in good health. It can be found under the music section in the preserve, freestanding with the Absinthe Double Dragon 3 remix, I believe.
And again, let's hope it's the first of many.
That's right. That's right. And Uncle, you mentioned something earlier about Shogun Assassins, was it?
Yes.
And that got me thinking about the fact that I recently picked up the 36th Chamber of Shaolin from Dragon Dynasty, I believe.
That's Dragon Dynasty, right?
That's right. You know, when they went, and I believe Dragon Dynasty, or at least Celestial Pictures, went and purchased the tremendous Shaw Brothers library of films from back in the 60s and 70s, and are very slowly re-releasing some of the more important titles in that library with a nice DVD treatment, and this one was really great, I guess there are a few special features I haven't even had time to look at yet, like commentary by the RZA, apparently, which is very amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's just a great movie. If people can find it, it's a fantastic chapter in the history of martial arts cinema, 36th Chamber of Shaolin, starring Gordon Liu.
Charlie, actually, I was reading on a couple of months ago, they did reviews of the 36th Chamber of Shaolin and Master Killer.
Okay.
So I have been looking to purchase Master Killer for a while. I just, you know, finances really haven't been there, and my DVD collection is just ever growing, and the amount of DVDs purchased and not watched just continues to pile up. So, you know, I'm trying to really slow down DVD purchases until I work off my backlog.
Sure.
But, you know, Master Killer is another major one.
Now, have you seen the 36th Chamber?
I have not.
Okay.
And, from my understanding, it's one of the best martial art pictures of all time.
It's just great. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I actually was looking for it online, and it could be that I was looking the wrong way, because things usually are abundant, but I was having trouble finding the Dragon Dynasty films, even though I found the website now. But I just happened to find this copy at Best Buy for a reasonable price, just kind of tucked away in the martial arts section. And so once in a while, these things turn up, which is kind of cool. And I'll keep an eye out for Master Killer.
Yeah, You know, Charlie, actually, I just wanted to say the last Dragon Dynasty movie that I bought was a classic John Woo film, Hard Boiled.
Oh, Hard Boiled, sure.
And actually, it's really cool. It says save $3 on any Dragon Dynasty DVD. I got a little coupon in there. So I didn't even know that.
Oh, no kidding. Man, mine was super ghetto, dude. There wasn't a single insert. It totally looks like a bootleg.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, the outside picture, the art sleeve, and then you open it up and it's just like a disc where the ink's still wet, you know? That's about it.
That's great.
Thanks,
you
Best
know, as
Buy.
As long as you got that commentary by the RZA, I think you're okay.
Oh, well, you know, let's make sure that works, I guess, before I get too excited. Now, you know, shifting gears briefly, we're talking about retail successes and whatnot. And it probably is simply because I was jumping the gun and some of these Transformers movie toys hadn't even hit the shelves yet. But this past week, I experienced really spectacular success in filling in the remaining gaps in the Transformers movie toy collection. And basically, I am now done with the first and second, whatever, the main waves of the figures. Meaning I found Leader Class Brawl, found the G1 Jazz and Starscream repaints at Target. So I know that you abandoned it a while ago, but you can probably still at least appreciate that, you know, given the Pandora's purchase that was unleashed by yourself and Dan, I've at least kind of come full circle now and have put it to bed, however reluctantly.
You know, again, I kind of feel a little bit bad because I roped you into this one. I can only hope you're not paying the APR that I'd be paying if I put those items on my credit card.
Oh, well, I've been paying them off every month, so there you go.
Well, good for you, Charlie. You got the... You got the tools, you got the talent.
It's Miller time.
And it's always a happy, a bittersweet event when someone actually completes the collection.
Correct. When I found Leader Class Brawl and Thundercracker Voyager Class at a Walmart a few towns away, I was ecstatic because I'd been looking for these, but I realized, hey, these are the last two pieces. That's kind of a bummer. So yeah, it was definitely a bittersweet moment.
And again, Charlie, I know you're very busy and you got a lot of things going on, much more than me, you know. With, you know, having a house and a wife and adult responsibilities, but if you could actually, I would love to see what they look like together. Like
the group shot.
A group shot. I think that would look so cool. And maybe you could even put it, you know, set it as one of those banners.
Oh, that's true. I think that would really be excellent. I very much would like to do the group shot. So I've been thinking about that since you mentioned it a few days ago. So I just have to kind of make the space to set them all up, think of how to like fit them all in a frame without it being ridiculous. So there's actually, you know, some logistical problems to it.
No, because you have so many. Like, you can't just all lay them on.
Yeah, you gotta do some vertical tiering, and like, how do you do that? So
if anyone's up to the challenge, it's you.
I like to think so. This is true.
Switching gears for a moment, I'm very excited about this upcoming week, the content that you have planned for the Berserk, the 25th anniversary G.I. Joe photo shoot coming up.
Wonderful, yes, good. I'm glad you're excited. I'm looking forward to it myself. It's wonderful to do that because it forces me to go through the content really carefully and make sure I read all the file cards and make sure I read all the bios, and it's always fabulously instructive. And really, you know, again, shifting back to the Starscream repaint that I read today, it totally references the end of the movie when Starscream like jets off into space and it talks about how he like changed his freaking paint job to like hide better, etc. And the Jazz repaint, really interestingly, talks about like when Ratchet repaired Jazz, he got a new paint job, as if they're going beyond the end of the movie and saying, oh, he's not really dead, Ratchet just put him back together and they repainted him to look cool. So who knows, but it's kind of interesting that they're almost extending like the canon with this whole repaint thing.
The fiction of the movie through the action figures. And
so I was really startled because I hadn't read the bios yet when I bought the figures, and I sat down today and started typing them up. I was like, holy cow, all right, that's kind of, what do you know? So, you know, at least somebody's spending some effort on the bios. I figured they just reuse the same bio and screw them, you know? And yeah. And they went and wrote this whole new bio. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and remember, I don't know if you remember this, we were at the movie writers panel at BotCon, you know, and I guess, you know, you're a Transformers fan, you have a young child, you know, why not be like the Ramsey? And, you know, use your child to act really cute and ask questions.
Yeah.
A couple of the kids seemed really bummed out that Jazz died.
That's right.
The older fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And while I also, you know, didn't like to see our favorite robot voiced by Family Matters' Eddie Winslow fight the big one, you can't really have a war and not have anyone die.
Yeah, well, you could back in the day, except in the movie, of course.
Right, no, but I'm just saying, Carnage and C Minor and Car Washes and Doom and Hate Plague, you know, I feel like people are a little bit more discriminating when it comes to big.
Yeah, yeah, well said. So, yeah, so Uncle, it's, you know, again, bittersweet. I think the only things I've got left at this point are three of the Target exclusive scouts that I'm having trouble finding. So we'll see if those get reshelved, and those four Real Gears. And really, again, it's a total fanboy thing, but of course the reason I'm interested in the Real Gears, other than completion's sake, one of them's named Nightbeat, and of course you've gotten me all interested in the freaking Nightbeat thing. So it's kind of interesting. And Nightbeat's even a repaint of the freaking Laserbeak, or with Booster X10, whatever, but of Laserbeak from the first wave of Real Gears. So, a repaint on top of everything else. But look, so that's my brief toy update. Not quite as daring and gallant and dashing as the 13-year-old and the blunt samurai sword, but there you have it.
Excellent.
All right, so look, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this this kind of frantic, updated Uncle Cast to give you all the latest on the Ren Faire and the releases of Transformers, and everyone enjoy the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary retrospective of Wave 1 with Wave 2 soon to hit the shelves, almost maybe when we're done this week at the Preserve with the Wave 1 overview. So Uncle, excellent to talk to you today, as always.
Great to talk to you.
All right, man, we will catch you next week.
Bye.
Alright, Uncle, so how was your day?
Oh, my day was pretty good. I have it my hand stamped by mail delivered to your door. Quick, easy, convenient. United States Postal Service, USPS.com.
Okay, hold on.